Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is The Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it is a Monday in Los Angeles, and there is a lot to talk about. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac is back off vacay. It's great to have him in today. We're calling right where Colin was wrong 1 hour from now. Caitlin Clark, sort of, a lot of times athletes ride a wave to the beach. She was the wave. She was the momentum and the inertia, and she sort of carried all of us on this magical ride, which ended up short. But, I mean, you were on vacation. Everywhere you go, I was at an airport yesterday. And the first half, I was waiting to get on the plane. And I looked around. And I walked around where I was sitting waiting to get on the plane. Everybody, whether it was Fubo or whatever device it was, everybody was watching that game. I've walked around during a World Series game. I've walked around during a NBA Finals game. Not every TV's on. No. Every TV was, I don't know what the number will be, but every in the airport. The whole airport in Chicago was watching it.
The only time we turned on a TV during spring break was to watch the Caitlin Clark LSU game poolside, like 25 people, two TVs. It was crazy. Like, people are obsessed, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Well, the better, deeper team, South Carolina, won yesterday. At one point, they had a 30-0 advantage in bench scoring. The better team generally beats the iconic great star. I suspect tonight UConn, the better team, will beat the star Zach Edey and Purdue. Caitlin Clark plays like Steph, but Steph got great players around him, Klay, KD, and Draymond. Her career is more like Luka in Dallas. Is Kyrie enough? A remarkable score, but having to carry a little too bit much of the load against the truly great teams. And South Carolina is the UConn or Pat Summit's Tennessee now. They're really, really good. MJ, never forget this, the best basketball player many believe ever, could never get past Larry Bird and the Celtics, could never get past Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, until he got Phil Jackson, a great coach, maybe the greatest coach, and he got Scottie Pippen, the greatest Robin ever in the NBA. LeBron in Cleveland, the first iteration of Cleveland. He got to the finals and got destroyed, swept by San Antonio. The better team, the better coach, the better supporting cast. Individual greatness, could be Tiger Woods or Serena, has no ceiling. You don't rely on others, maybe a caddy or a coach, but it's about you. But Cristiano Ronaldo, perhaps the greatest soccer talent of my life, with Portugal's talent, is not going to win a World Cup. Give him French talent, Germany talent, give him that level of talent surrounding him, he probably has multiple World Cups. Do not doubt, however, Caitlin Clark's remarkable talent. She has the qualities we love with basketball stars. Scores quickly, scores a lot, real toughness, the vision, the ability to elevate others. But her career at college ends like many icons do before they get a Pippen. Kobe's career was stalled. Then he got Pau Gasol. The better team beats the icon without great supporting staff. Caitlin Clark, though, the story here is bigger than that. She carried a lot of things over the last couple of months. Largely women's basketball, the state of Iowa's economy, and my guess, she will have an impact in the WNBA. I doubt it's this significant, but she will have an impact. And certain people, men and women, whatever it is, you see it sometimes in movies, in Hollywood, but that's often make-believe, and this was very real. It is almost a magic dust. Is it invincibility, relatability, connectability, or just lots of ability? Whatever it is, it was bigger than basketball. Caitlin Clark sprinkled that dust over all of us, and here's what they said after.
There's not a regret in my mind of how things went. I'll be able to sleep every night, even though I never won a national championship. And I think that's the thing about everything I've done is, like, there's so much to be proud of. I don't sit and sulk about the things that never happened. I just, you know, my mom always taught me, like, keep your head high, be proud of everything that you accomplished. And, you know, I think I'm still hungry for a lot more, too.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
A lot of athletes, even great ones, ride the wave. Caitlin Clark was the wave. All right, I've been told the Washington Commanders, right now, as of today, would choose Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, as their top pick. Been going back and forth. I'm told they believe he's more consistent than Drake May. He is quicker, more mobile than Drake May. An offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who will have some say in this, has had multiple quarterbacks in his college and pro coaching career that play like him. Quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, are important. They're very hypermobile, right? And that matters a lot. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. As you're trying to figure out the sophisticated NFL pocket and all it asks, it gives you a couple of years to pick up first downs and move the sticks with your feet. Even Patrick Mahomes acknowledged the light didn't truly go on until year three. But the ability to move, Washington's got a bad offensive line, pick up first downs with those feet as you're learning the game is important. He is not perfectly sized. He's a bit spindly for me, 6'3", 6'3 and a half, and 210. And it is a bit of a concern, but in the NFL, you can't be paralyzed by perfect. I remember listening to draft experts tell me that Justin Herbert was just too mechanical. Yes, he is mechanical. That is his one flaw. He's a bit mechanical. He could be more creative. He's also 6'5 and a half, 230 with a huge arm and can move. Draft him. You know, when you get relationships, could be a girlfriend, boyfriend, marriage, company, there's no perfect. Stop seeking it. Stop nitpicking. Jaden Daniels is really good at Arizona State. He's better at LSU. He gets better every year. You need a quarterback. If you look at the top quarterback prospects coming out of college, they had red flags. I mean, Josh Allen was inaccurate. Patrick Mahomes was wild. He was one of those Big 12 air raid quarterbacks, and none before him had worked. Justin Herbert was mechanical. Some were asking about Lamar Jackson. Is he an NFL quarterback? And these are the top guys. Forget the third, fourth, and fifth round guys. The top guys. It's very rare when you get a Matt Stafford and everybody's like, yeah, big arm, wins a lot, accurate and productive. Even Joe Burrow, people wonder, can he push the ball down the field? He's done just fine doing that. His big issue now is health. So Aaron Rodgers, I'm reading part of Ian O'Connor's new book, which comes out in September on Aaron Rodgers. One of the reasons he fell in the draft, people thought he was too arrogant. Yes, sometimes he is. He's also got a trophy, and that's what everybody's trying to do here. So there's other things to consider. If you have the number two pick and you have a defensive head coach, and Washington does, Defensive coaches hate turnovers. Jaden Daniels doesn't turn the ball over. Last year, he had a 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He does not turn the ball over. The other thing to think about, Washington's got a very weak offensive line. Well, pocket quarterbacks like a Jared Goff, you see how good he is in Detroit with a good line, or in the Rams when they had Andrew Whitworth. You saw him before Andrew Whitworth arrived in Los Angeles and the O-line was bad. Jared Goff was ineffective. So, bad O-line, mobile quarterbacks matter. TD interception ratio, fantastic. Defensive coaches like that. The offensive coordinator has worked with several college quarterbacks that have had this style and been effective. And again, he just keeps getting better. That is a real thing. So I'm told right now, today, that is who Washington likes. It works with his mobility. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's coachable and keeps getting better. Right now, Washington, Jaden Daniels at 2. Good stuff today. I tell you, the Caitlin Clark story is fun. A lot of times, selfishly, whenever I watch sports, I think about how does it benefit my show? Because I'm on the air for 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week. You can do the math. I have to fill a lot of space. And one of the things I've said, even though I don't necessarily love it for the sport, if the NFL extends the 18 weeks and a second bye, it'll take me all the way to NFL free agency. Seasonal end, I'll talk about the Super Bowl, I'll take a week off, I'll come back, there'll be 18 NBA games left. It makes my job easier. I hope women's basketball rides this momentum and we can mix it in to our March topics. I'm always looking for stuff outside of the NFL that moves the needle. It's why I love the Pac-12 converging with the Big Ten. So I get USC, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, along with Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State. I get all those brands in one conference. I get Texas, Oklahoma in the SEC with Bama, Georgia, LSU, and Florida. I'm looking for big. And the more topics can fill a show. So anybody that fights fun or fights momentum, Caitlin Clark is great for sports, great for Iowa, great for the WNBA, great for my business. So selfishly, it's fantastic that we have this tsunami of TV ratings for a sport that got him back in 83 with Cheryl Miller. And then it's always been, you know, from a sports talk show radio host, TV host, it's kind of disposable. You talk about it now. I would love to have 10 segments, multiple leads in March, April, every year on this sport. And the other thing about women's basketball, that men's college basketball over the last decade has lost, it gives you chemistry and it gives you continuity. It gives you stories that are repeating. Remember, 90% of the money in Hollywood is remakes, right? Like this was a remake. It's Iowa gets there and loses, and the LSU Angel Reese story. We all get caught up on this, on the wrong stuff. Angel Reese, she talked a little trash, she got a little heat, she's going to be great, she's fine. But the bigger story was it was a rematch. In boxing, UFC, Hollywood, sports, we like rematches. You argue and fight them, but there were so many things that worked. I hope this is what March and April look like. Both the men and women's college basketball programs can be big topics.
I mean, Colin, we talk about the industry a lot and how it's changed significantly in the last 30 years. Do you know how hard it is to get people to turn on a television in 2024? You got TikTok, YouTube, streaming service. There's so many options, video games. Yet for Caitlin Clark, people are actively seeking out the game, turning on a television. That says something when, by the way, the UConn team, some of these UConn players taking jabs, the old W, they were getting like 2 million viewers for the championship game. When they were undefeated, like 39-0, 2, 3 million viewers.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark is pulling 7-8 times that number.
Yeah.
She gets people to turn on a TV. We haven't seen that in women's sports ever.
Tiger Woods got me, along with the Sopranos, to change how I viewed Sunday television. Right? Like Tiger Woods move people to Sunday. I would be out usually doing things. And I was like, oh, it's 2 o'clock. Tiger's making the turn. We got to watch. There's very few athletes that have. Gretzky made hockey for a short time, like cover of Sports Illustrated when it mattered. Lead in the news when it mattered. Bigger than basketball. Like there are these athletes and a lot of it's greatness, but there's a magic dust to, I mean, daytime television eroded. Oprah didn't. She grew. Whatever it is it invincibility, connectability, a lot of ability? Whatever it is, I don't know what the it factor is. Part of it is obviously a great player. But there's a lot of great players in the NBA. KD's a great player. He doesn't move TV ratings. Yeah. Steph Curry's a great player. He does move TV ratings. So it's hard to explain what it was. The first time I ever saw this in my life, and I didn't know what TV ratings were, but when I was a kid, Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
He was lyrical. He had poems. He was his style. He was good looking. It's just hard to explain what it is. And people, I mean, I've been trying to figure out kind of what it is, but I've seen it happen about once a decade. You get this magic dust sprinkled on a sport, and it's like, it's just join the wave. Have fun and watch it.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time for Colin Right, Colin Wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right?
I said John Calipari always gets defensive and uncomfortable when you question his vision on one and done, and so he just bailed on a great program, Kentucky, to go to Arkansas because he was uncomfortable with Kentucky saying, John, we need a little more in March. It's not a move I would have made. He's going to make a bunch of money. But I think people finally ask the question. Yeah, it's recruiting. It's great. But you got to deliver in March if you're the head coach of Kentucky. Nobody cares how rich the players get in the NBA. They want to be enriched at Kentucky, and that's what he didn't do the last 4 or 5 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
I will say this for Luka and Kyrie. It's not just about winning. The Mavs now are a top 5 defensive rated team. And Kyrie's been a good teammate. And I just didn't see it. I'd watched his career. I saw how Boston worked. I saw how Brooklyn worked. All I know right now, Luka and Kyrie have the highest net rating in the league. The only one better is Jokic and several teammates. So this is a big surprise for me. They're better defensively. They're a lot of fun to watch. They're offensively brilliant. A little bit like Phoenix, but a better version where the offense is scintillating. But you just don't know how it plays in later April, May, and June. But I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Listen, I've been saying this forever. Purists, you can't lean on them. Go big in sports. Talk Dallas Cowboys. Talk the big brands. Women's college basketball. Iowa, on a Friday night, and that's a terrible TV night, beat every college football game except Michigan, Ohio State. Lean into stars is the key to television. Stop with the purity. Stop. Caitlin Clark's a star. Tiger's a star. The Cowboys are stars. You can't talk enough about Caitlin Clark and Iowa and stars. It's how, in a fragmented world, people are busy and distracted, Caitlin Clark galvanized the country.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said I watched UConn play three times in the regular season, and I said I don't live for college basketball, I'm a casual, but that is easily the best team in college basketball. They are winning in the tournament by 25 a game. And these are the best teams, and I think they'll win by about 8 or 9 tonight. Dan Hurley on what he has built with the Huskies.
Our identity is to be pretty relentless, and you know, we might not break you for, you know, 18 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, but at some point, if what we're doing at both ends and on the backboard is at a high level, it just becomes hard for the other team to sustain it.
Yep, and that's why I think they beat Purdue, a very good and worthy Purdue team, tonight. We'll say about 78-70 feels about right.
Where Colin was wrong.
Doc Rivers, the Bucks are still a number two seed, but he's 15-17 as a head coach. I thought it would take a while, but it would be better than this because Doc Rivers' history is he's good with older teams. He was good when he got KG and Ray Allen, and he's always been good with veteran players. Some coaches are. Frank Vogel's good with bigs. Mike D'Antoni, good with pacing. It has not worked. I know that he deflects criticism. I know his rotations get a lot of criticism. But I did think, oh, this will work. This will fit. And it really, this is a strained team that just doesn't look right.
Where Colin was right?
I said this before the season and during it. Jalen Brunson's the biggest basketball star and the best basketball star in New York since Patrick Ewing. I saw him play live Friday. He's better. He's better than I thought. I love everything about him. I love that he went to Villanova. I love how tough he is. I love his resilience. He's getting better. He scored 43. The Knicks should not be beating Milwaukee. They should not be. He's just a tremendous player. And being a star is more than just about getting yours. People want to play with him. When he's on the floor, he jumps off a TV. He jumps when you're there. He is this force of nature. I know a lot of small guys don't lead teams to titles, but I don't think he has to win a title in New York to validate his greatness. Good for Jalen Brunson.
Where Colin was right?
Stephon Diggs, we said it a year ago that Josh Allen was tired of the drama. I'm a big fan of Stephon Diggs. I would take him. I think the Texans got a good player, but they wiped out the final 3 years in his contract to make him a free agent after the season, and I think it's a smart move. Listen, in my life, for whatever reasons, I don't know why, but wide receivers break the huddle first. It's more of an individual position, and, you know, sometimes they bring some drama. I can think two things at once. I like the player. I like the player a lot. I'm glad he's going to the Texans. I think he'll make a difference. But we called this for the last 6 months to a year. It just felt like it was increasingly strained in Buffalo.
Where Colin was right?
You know, defensive football coaches drive me nuts. The Patriots signed a deal for a safety, Kyle Duggar, who's a good player, for almost $60 million. Defensive coaches, stop paying linebackers and safeties a fortune. Pay wide receivers, tackles, quarterbacks, and occasional running back. This is my issue with the Patriots. They hired somebody who has the same vision, albeit a younger person, of Bill Belichick. The teams right now that are growing and getting the most out of draft picks, in my opinion, are offensive coaches. Safeties are fine. I like a good safety. I'm not paying $60 million for one. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after-show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royals.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Second time we're bringing him on. We hope he's on all the time. Mick Cronin, UCLA basketball coach, two-time conference coach of the year. You'd had about a streak of 12, 13 straight tournaments. You'd been in this thing forever. It's been fun to watch. And my takeaway initially was it's a bit diluted. I don't think it's terribly good at the middle or bottom, but at the top, it's really good. I had talked to Mark Few, maybe on or off the air, a month ago, and he's like, I don't want to play Purdue again. Are you surprised? You know the Midwest well.
Yeah.
There were questions about, are they too Zach Edey dependent? Are they athletic enough? Are you shocked Purdue's here?
No, no, not at all. Because they, you know, they've go back again. You and I, you know, to our era, the Pistons had to go through losing to the Celtics.
Right.
The Bulls had to go through losing to the Pistons.
Yeah.
You know, so Purdue's been through some tough times, and they've all stayed together, and they have an elite coach in Matt Painter, and they have the best player in the country.
Yeah.
So that it would have surprised me if they would have lost because of what they've been through. I think too many people say, well, they don't know how to win. They were young. Give them a chance. You understand last year they started two freshman guards.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, unless they're lottery picks, how are you going to make the Final Four with two freshman guards?
So Edey's size is significant, especially in college, but UConn's actually a bigger team everywhere else.
Yes.
I kind of feel like they'll hang around, but Hurley says this, we're a lot. He's like, it may take us 18, 20 minutes.
I read that.
we bring a lot. I always felt this way with Alabama and Saban. You could hang for a half, but the velocity of athletes over the course of 3 hours, they wear you out. Who do you like tonight?
I mean, I would be shocked if Purdue won. I think UConn's a distinctive favorite. For a couple reasons. One, Klingon is the only guy that has a chance to guard Edey one-on-one.
And slow him down a little.
Exactly. So, you know, to me, the Purdue's supporting cast is relying upon the fact that you have to pay so much attention to Zach Edey that they make open shots. Like, their supporting cast isn't what UConn's is. I mean,
right.
You know, Caravan is an unbelievable shot maker off screens. They have two guards. Colin, do you understand UConn's two starting guards? combined, Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer, tonight will be there. I looked this up for us. 290 and 91st college game combined.
What a huge edge.
Two fifth-year players. I mean, exactly.
Very Villanova feeling.
Yeah, and even more with the fifth year. They're both fifth-year guys. You know, they just got everything. Castle's a lottery pick, but he's not like a down the road. He's a tough dude. Like that, you know, his dad played. I mean, Castle's a real guy. I mean, he's a productive freshman. Caravan's the glue guy, though. So when your four man is an elite shooter, I mean, it just changes everything. I mean, it's new wave basketball, right? With that stretch four.
Yeah.
They're just parts fit, but clinging. I mean, if he doesn't get in foul trouble, but they have Johnson. I mean, they're just the best team.
Yes, I think top to bottom. Felt like South Carolina yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a 30-0 bench advantage. You're talking about different level. You know, I was saying some athletes ride the wave. Caitlin Clark felt like the wave. Is that I read a story that Gino Auriemma had seen her, kind of passed on her. It's okay. People develop. Some people are great at 12. Some develop. We've seen that in all sorts of sports. When you watch Caitlin Clark, as a guy who does this for a living, we know she can shoot. What's the second thing you look and go, well, that's elite?
Passing. I was surprised. Obviously, we're busy, so you don't have much time, right? But it's like, what's going on, you know, with this girls player at Iowa, right? So you turn it on, and her passing's elite. I don't. If she would have had, not to disparage anybody, but her supporting cast would have, you know,
like not as good.
Steph Curry's. She's a college version of Steph Curry. She's not the best athlete, but she's the best shooter and an elite passer.
Yeah.
The question for me, and that I don't know this because I don't know the WNBA as well, but I know they're 28, 29, 30. You know, will she be able to get all that done against better athletes, against more size? You know, how much will that translate? I mean, that's the question going forward.
Well, the one thing I do like about her, and she's a playmaker. Like a lot of scorers aren't. They're just scorers.
Right. She can really pass it.
She can. So I said this earlier. Life's about connections. When I started a business 3 years ago, I leaned on people I knew. If the Lakers took Bronny James at 55, I called one NBA scout last week, and he said, listen, smart kid, plays the right way. Because of his physical scare, he's got more. He's not a playmaker. He's not wildly dynamic, but he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have no shooters. He said, so if you could find a guy off the bench, take him 2 years, grows. And he said, if LeBron is energized his last 3 years, it's not the end of the world. Your takeaway, I mean, you know, you saw him play. Could he develop into a rotational NBA guy and hit Jays?
And I think in time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The question is, I would tell you, I had the advantage. I saw him a lot in high school, obviously, you know, with recruiting. He played with Amari Bailey at Sierra Canyon, who played, you know, so I was there a lot. I would tell you whatever went on with the heart situation.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that's how hard that is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to imagine it wasn't like he was able to run around, stay in shape. Right. You know, you probably had to shut it down for an extended period of time.
He did.
To come into, it's hard enough as a freshman in college basketball. In this era of 20, you know, the fifth year guys.
A lot of them.
To come in as a freshman that had an entire summer of training. Well, he had no summer. And he had no fall, really. And then all of a sudden he's back on the court. So he was a shell of what I saw in high school.
Right.
So he's...
But what did you see in high school?
Well, I think he was quicker, faster, more athletic. So, you know, I think, you know, sitting around for 5 months couldn't have helped.
Of course.
But he can shoot the ball. He's smart. He's a very good kid. I've been around him.
Somebody told me he'll be great on a well-run organization because, like his dad, he makes the right play.
Well, he's been trained that. Yeah, that's just habit for him. You know, that mean, he grew up. You imagine growing up sitting watching basketball games and your
talking
dad.
Talking to your dad.
Your dad's LeBron James. But he's your dad. But he's talking about the right play all the time. You know, the guy was, you know, the best passer. You know, he's always made the right play. Even people say they knocked LeBron. Well, he should have shot a bad shot. Why'd he pass it to the wide open guy? Like, people go on and say that stuff. Like, because he guy's wide open. Well, we should have, you know. Well, if the guy would have made it, you wouldn't have been criticizing him. So his dad's always been around the right play. So yeah, legacy guys, too, tend to, in the last 15 years, a lot of legacy guys have been maybe underrated. And now he didn't fly under the radar, like Steph Curry, okay? like his brother, okay, that his, you know, he went to Davidson, his brother went to Liberty.
Yeah.
So the big advantage of if your parent was a good player, because you've been taught the game. A lot of legacy players now, it's not taught. I mean, you know, in recruiting, like, I try to search for them.
You do?
Yeah, because you know how they've grown up. Like, I know why I'm here. My dad was a great high school coach, and when the season was over, he was part of the best organization in the Atlanta Braves for 20 years. They won 14 rings. Like, those are the people I walk home from school. Bobby Cox is in my house. You know, so, like, I know the advantages I had growing up. So it's a huge advantage when you can grow up around that. Because not only so Bronny talks to his dad, who do you think his dad's friends are? Other good players. Right? I mean, look who they're, you know, look. So yeah. you're so far advanced, and you don't even know it, that by the time you're 13, how much basketball you really know.
Yeah, you know, I for years and years, I would hear that, you know, if you grow up with money, you won't have an edge. But I always felt basketball has been a suburb sport for about 15 years, and that a lot of the good programs are well-capitalized programs. They're suburban schools with money.
Well, you know, we're in the era of where money matters now as well. But right. in high school, look, high school has changed so much. You know, there was an era of, you know, out here, whether it was Fremont or Crenshaw,
yeah.
you know, Compton Centennial.
Yeah.
When now it's all private schools.
Right.
Same, you know, New York City, the Catholic League back then, but even there were scholarship, but the diocese was so big there. Yeah. There, but now they all go to prep schools. You know, it's just the world of scholastic basketball has really, really changed.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Zach Edey again. So I think sometimes we make a mistake, and I'm guilty of this, that we forget these are young people, and everybody ages. It doesn't matter if it's actors. There, you see it in comedy. There are late bloomers. Not everybody is a Jon Stewart. At 20, he's just clever. A lot of these comedians hit at 28, yeah. 30. And when I watched Zach Edey last year, I was like, didn't move very well. Not sure he's a great closer for his size. And then I started watching him at the end of the Big Ten season. And I'm like, God, he's a way better player.
Yeah.
And you've had a couple of those guys.
Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah. And it's what is the click factor? Is it because he was always big? What was the click factor, and what do you think it is with him?
Well, big guys, on a rule of thumb in basketball, okay, and just life, you know, taller you are, it takes you longer to be coordinated.
Okay.
Right? You know, you go watch, you know, Mick Cronin in seventh grade, I'm the same size. Right? You know, but versus some other kid, it's all arms and legs. It's just going to take them time.
Okay.
It takes big guys longer for their coordination to catch up to their size. That's just, and that's been going on forever. So, you know, Zach, in his case, I'm sure it's the same thing. It's just taking time. It's taking hard work. Then in his case, I think he said he really worked on his diet, his conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Painter.
He looks more cut.
Yeah, much more. Matt's a friend of mine. You know, he wasn't going to get, it's a great example, you know, for staying in school. You know, everybody now wants to say, well, this guy, everything's the microwave society.
Right.
You got to give people a chance to develop as a player.
That's right.
You know, give him a chance. I mean, you know, look what's happened. Now he's going to be a lottery pick, maybe. I mean, I don't know if you've looked. I mean, the boards have him all the way up. I saw the one was at 13, maybe.
Oh, I had him at 17 last time.
There you go.
Well,
he was, like, not drafted to 50 last year.
No, when I watched him, I thought he was slow, and I didn't think for his size he was dominant enough close. Now he's completely dominant up close.
Okay, look at Donovan Clingan, who's going to play tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, he could go, probably going to go top five now. Right? Last year he came off the bench. They played Adamo Sanogo as a starter. So you got to get – but bigger guys, to your original question, yeah, the longer, taller you are, it's very rare that those kind of guys are coordinated and polished as a younger player. Very, very, very rare.
Yeah. Is, you know, the psychology of Zach Edey, I always, you know, he was 6'10 in the eighth grade. And I always had this feeling that some bigs were a little socially awkward because they were bigger than their teachers. And like Kareem was very shy. And you've seen, like, a guy that's, a lot of guards have had big personalities. Like, they were the athlete, they were good looking, the girls liked them, the guys, and then you're 7 feet.
Very rare.
Embiid, huge personality. But it is interesting, when you recruit bigs, is it a different recruiting process than a point guard?
Oh, I think you named a few. Shaq,
yeah.
Joel Embiid's got, you know, he's an outgoing guy. A lot of guys, I think it's easy to become introverted because imagine
such a unique.
Well, people just staring at you. I mean, you know, imagine. I've been very fortunate to develop a relationship with Kareem.
Yes.
Okay, you being the coach at UCLA. I mean, he's told me some things and shared with me some things from his youth because I'm fascinated. I'm a history guy.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's the best basketball player. I want to know about how, you know, how it was to be him.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, what you go through with people just staring at you. How's the weather up there? It's like, did you come up with that all by yourself? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being that guy that has to listen to that every time you get in an elevator?
Yeah.
So I think it causes some of those kids to maybe go, you know, become introspective and quieter, which is not good for your basketball development. For your athletic development, you need to be confident. You know, you can't have your shoulders slouched. So,
right.
You know, I think, again, as you get more comfortable with your size and who you are as a person and accept that you're just taller than everybody, and even though people look at you because of that, you become a better player as you – it translates.
I like – when I hear Zach Edey on the mic, I like him.
Oh, yeah. He's
got, he's got just enough attitude. He's just enough of a smart aleck that he's – it's social.
But who was he 4 years ago? You know, it was really
– That's right.
You know, that's why, you know, there's such a rush to try to – a guy comes into college. Is he a pro or not? Well, hold on. Everybody's not LeBron James, you know.
No.
Let a guy develop. Let a boy become a man.
Right.
When the boy becomes a man, he's going to be a better player because he knows – not only does he know more about the game, he knows more about rest. He knows more about what he should be focusing on. But it's just, you know, that's the world we're in with the microwave society.
So John Calipari goes to Arkansas. It's obviously, it's a Duke, Carolina, Kansas. You got to win. You got to win pretty quickly. But you would inherit some good players. John can recruit his butt off. What do you make of part of why I like SEC football is they're crazy. Part of what makes Kentucky one of the top three jobs, they're a little nuts.
Well, their fan base is second to none, period. Let's just, you know, I grew up 60 miles from there.
What if they called you tomorrow?
If they called me tomorrow, I'd be their coach?
Yeah.
I turn left on Sunset.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. We leave here, I'm going to the Grand Havana Room in Beverly Hills with your boss, Mark Silverman, to watch the game tonight.
That's a good.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But no, in all seriousness, it's we talked about this last time. The jobs can be – some of these jobs are – the expectations are so high.
Incredible.
That the magnitude of the job, you can't feed the beast forever. You know, and when you build the beast early – and Coach
and John did.
He had unbelievable success. And when you can't repeat that, it's really hard. It's just a hard existence. So my guess would be that basically it was just time for change was his mind, you know, his mindset. I mean, I read something this morning about his friends with the Tyson Chicken guy. I mean, that's all speculation. I mean, it's all speculation. But you do that job is
you have to give up chunks of your life.
There you go. And it's pretty normal in our business that basically if you're going to be a college coach, it's really hard for people outside of our business. For former players or NBA guys, they can't understand that. Like yesterday, I had a Zoom call, an hour and a half on a Sunday. Then I had one of my players over because he's from Spain, and I had to make him birthday dinner because he's sitting there by himself turning 19. Then I've already had a Zoom call before I drove here. You know, it's just your normal is to work all the time
right.
as a college coach, and everything else is secondary. That's just like. So those are the guys that tend to be successful in our business. It's just your normal that your life is secondary.
Yeah.
But in that job is really different than any other job. It really is. I mean, it just is because of the fan base and no pro sports.
You get that Southern tribal passion. It was the last region to get pro sports.
Yeah.
So college.
Well, they don't have it.
College is bigger than pro.
Well, there is no pro in Kentucky.
Yeah.
There are no pro sports in the state of Kentucky. Now, unless you want to count the Reds AAA team in Louisville.
Yeah, so it's the show.
And has been. That's the other thing about college, about tradition. It has been. The only other basketball team in that state that's ever played besides Kentucky or Louisville is the Kentucky Colonels of the ABA.
Yeah, I remember that was Artis Gilmore or something like that. There was Dan Issel.
Yeah, I mean, I was young, man.
I'm old.
You're not that much older than me.
Great seeing you again.
Always a pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Make Silverman pick it up. He's got a big budget.
That's right. Fox Silverman, you're buying tonight.
Endless stream of revenue at Fox. Everybody knows that.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.